Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Good morning. Welcome in. Winning cures everything. I'm Gary.
And I'm Chris.
And this is the College Football Week 9 Recap Show. Chris, you look like you're in a different location, buddy.
Yeah, the motherboard on my laptop just totally crapped out. So I'm using the family computer this morning. Send everybody away.
Well, that sounds good to me. It looks good. It sounds good. Well, everything's rocking and rolling.
This is a much older computer, so I was worried that it would even work.
But it's working fine. Everything seems okay. The show, as always, brought to you by Tunica, Mississippi, the South's premier sports gambling destination. They've got 6 incredible sports books. You can find more information on them over at tunicatravel.com. Go check that stuff out. They got some awesome stuff going on. 6 wonderful sports books. We approve of all of them. Go check them out. TunicaTravel.com. You can find us over at WinningCuresEverything.com. You can get us on Facebook, on Twitter, at Winning Cures. You can find me at GaryWCE.
You find me at Chris B. Giannini.
And you can always subscribe on YouTube. Make sure you comment, you know, leave some messages, tell us what you like, what you don't like, etc. And you can subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you would. We're also on Spotify, Google, whatever your favorite podcast app is. Go check that stuff out. Yesterday was the third straight week that we have had a massive upset. So let's go ahead and start off with that, because we're going to get into this thing. We're just going to start running immediately. Kansas State whips Oklahoma and then holds on for dear life for a 48-41 win in Manhattan, Kansas. Look, Kansas State held on to the football for over 38 minutes of this game, and it's what you have said forever. The best defense is to not play defense. You keep Oklahoma off the field, and you have a better chance of winning the game. Like, period. Oklahoma could not stop the run. Kansas State had 213 yards rushing on 45 carries. They also went 18 for 28 for 213 yards passing. Oklahoma actually outgained Kansas State. Had 497 yards to 426. The problem is 395 of it was through the air. They went 19 of 27 in that spot, and they went quick, right? Super efficient game from Kansas State. Had 0 turnovers. Oklahoma had 2. All the talk is about the onside kick. And going back and looking at it, it looked like it hit a Kansas State player. It looked like the Oklahoma player got blocked into the ball. There was just all sorts of stuff. Did it go 10 yards? Did it not? All of that. At the end of the day, the fact that Oklahoma was having to attempt an onside kick to get back in this game is the reason why they lost.
That's right.
Like, am I crazy for thinking that they did not get screwed? They just didn't have a good game.
No, listen, at one point in time, we're all texting, big group texts with a bunch of guys, and we're texting about a bunch of different things going on at that time period. And next thing you know, I look down and I'm like, holy crap, 21-41, Kansas State is whipping their butt.
Yeah.
Like, how did this happen? How did I not notice this through all the flipping of channels and going back and forth on all these different games? And, man, yeah, I don't feel bad for Oklahoma for if there was a touch and go, maybe it could have been this, maybe it could have been that, did they get it right situation to get them the onside kick. That, no. If you're the 20-something point underdog and you fought like hell to get to that point, I feel a little bit worse for you. But when you're the favorite, you don't get that benefit of the doubt. Nobody feels sorry for you. You're supposed to go in there. You're supposed to be one of the top four or five teams in the country fighting for a playoff spot. And you just lost it, bro.
Yeah. I mean, it was and that's not one of the places where, like everywhere else in the country, it felt like it had a ton of rain, all that kind of mess. Like, it was beautiful. Like, it was wonderful. And Ohio State, I mean, Oklahoma, excuse me, they've got the guys to be able to run the football. And they just didn't. You know, they were not super efficient. The two turnovers killed them. And they were getting whipped on the line of scrimmage. I mean, just absolutely whipped. And, you know, it got out to a 48-23 lead for Kansas State. And then they kind of just folded up shop, it looked like. And you cannot do that, regardless of how much time is left. They were up 25 with, what, I think 8 minutes left in the game? 9 minutes left?
Yeah, I found it shocking that they were able to run the ball so easily on them the entire game. And then at the end, when they've got the lead and they just got to kill clock, they're not running the ball anymore, or they're not able to run the ball anymore. I mean, is that a credit to Oklahoma's defense finally just standing up? Or is it one of those things where you know they're running the ball? We literally can put all 11 guys down in the box or play man-to-man across the board, put 11, you know, everybody else in the box and say, you know, you're not going to run it.
I would say I would say that it had something to do with the fact that they knew that they were going to run it. But the fact that Kansas State was so effective throwing the football, I mean, Skylar Thompson was 18 of 28 for 213 yards. He didn't have any touchdowns, but, you know, he did have four rushing touchdowns. Like, they just didn't know how to defend this team. And credit to Chris Klieman and that bunch. At one, we were dead wrong on Kansas State in the offseason. Like, we... Yep.
No question about it.
Yeah.
I didn't think they had talent. That's the problem. It's crazy. They've had this talent because you don't walk in one recruiting class with a bunch of freshmen and maybe a couple of transfers at JUCOs and do this.
Yeah.
Have the season that they're having. These are guys that have been there.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And God love Bill Snyder, but damn.
Yeah.
This team is really good.
It's remarkable. I mean, Bill Snyder, like, built a good foundation. Absolutely built a good foundation.
He didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, that's what's crazy is why did it take this coaching staff to come in and actually get them to play to their potential? Like, we always thought Bill Snyder was the guy that covers these spreads, right?
That's right.
And
could get the most out of guys.
And instead, that was not the case in this situation.
I think Klein was doing a hell of a job. Way underestimated who they were going to be this year. Just because I thought he's going to need to recruit some talent.
That's what I thought.
I don't know that they have speed, and I don't know that they have strength. And I was wrong on both those.
Yeah, they got some
dudes.
They're
the fastest team in the country, but they've got enough speed. And, dude, they're strong. They're crazy strong.
They got dudes in the trenches. I mean, it is.
I mean, they look like they're building. This is what's cool to see in the Big 12. You're getting a separation between teams of some of these guys – are looking like we're being built to beat Big 12 teams, and some of them are continuing to build normal Big 12 teams. And when those teams clash, we get really good football games, even if there's a separation of talent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I agree. I agree 100%. So they've got dudes in the trenches. They got all this stuff. It's always funny to me to see the overreaction of, okay, well, there go the Big 12's playoff chances. Well, hold on. You already crapped on the Pac-12's playoff chances. Like, we all understand it is really difficult to go undefeated in college football. You're not going to have four or five undefeated teams at the end of the season. Right now, in the top five...
They still have an undefeated team.
They've still got Baylor.
The two big boys at home.
And Baylor gets to play Oklahoma and Texas at home.
They've already beaten Iowa State and Oklahoma State. And Texas Tech, which I don't know that Texas Tech is one of the big boys anymore, but that middle tier that we always have Baylor in, they've beaten their equivalents already.
Yeah.
They have to get by the two big boys now. And I think they probably still have Kansas State on the schedule.
They already beat Kansas State.
But they've already beat Kansas State too. Yeah. So I don't know Baylor's entire schedule. I know this. If they get by, holy crap, did you hear that?
Yeah.
That's that monster outside trying to get in my house. might have to let him in if he keeps doing that.
It's for anybody that doesn't know, Maui is his puppy. That yeah. What is Maui? Is Maui a pit bull?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. A puppy is a relative term.
Yeah, he's 70 young. 70
pounds of solid muscle. He can whip my ass any day of the week.
I absolutely love it. Love it.
He's a sweet dog. Anyway, So to say that, well, there goes their chances. If Baylor goes undefeated, they're going to have now that's a big if a huge tall order. Well, but if they go undefeated, that's an amazing resume.
But if Oklahoma wins out, that's going to be fine. Like, they're going to have a pretty good resume.
I do think they're going to need help, though.
Yeah. No, I think they'll need a little bit of help. But at this point, Oregon still needs a little bit of help. Utah needs help. Florida, yeah. Georgia, all of these teams.
The loser of Alabama LSU, I think, is going to need help.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way it goes. If Ohio State wins out, if Clemson wins out, they are in. Yeah. If Alabama wins out, if LSU wins out, they are in.
Like, move on to the next topic, and you can talk for a second.
All right, let's move on to that. Let's see. Next topic up, let's talk about Ohio State. They don't have the big wins that LSU does, but they dominated Wisconsin. Utterly, utterly dominated. There was a lot of rain in Columbus. And if you go look at the stats, when it was raining, it was a much more even ball game. it was not crazy. But when it stopped raining and before it started again, Ohio State wiped the floor with Wisconsin. I mean, the score 38-7, of course, if you haven't seen. I'm sure if you're listening to this, you knew what the score was. But J.K. Dobbins, 20 carries for 163 yards. Teague had 13 carries for 76 yards. I mean, 50 carries for 264 yards rushing and three touchdowns. Just dominated Wisconsin, and I did not see this coming at all. Wisconsin, I thought that Wisconsin would be able to run the football because, one, early on in the ball game, they looked like they were getting out there, right? They were able to push around Ohio State a little bit, but they end the day with 34 rushing carries for 83 yards. Like, they had 108 passing yards. Jack Cohn was not great. You know, Jonathan Taylor, like any Heisman hope that he had, died in Columbus, which he didn't have a great one anyway. But Jonathan Taylor, 20 carries, 52 yards, that ain't going to cut it. And Wisconsin had nothing to fall back on once they got down. I mean, it was just it was a bad day all around. I thought that they would show up in this game. I have learned my lesson. No more betting against Ohio State ever. This team is Ryan Day. The things that he is, like, this team is so efficient. And one thing I noticed yesterday, and people have been talking about this all year long, and I had not really seen it, they do not miss tackles. They never miss tackles. It is absurd to me that they always can bring down guys, even if it's just one guy in the open field. Like, did you notice that in this game?
No, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of noticed it all year, but it's just, yeah, they look like they're the cream of the crop. And I'm going to tell you, so does Penn State come to the Big House or do they go up to Happy Valley?
Oh, Penn State has to come to the Big House. To the Big House, to the Horseshoe.
Horseshoe, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. We cannot confuse those going forward.
I don't care.
It's Ohio State and Michigan fans will have a, like, just come apart.
That's good. Good for them. Good for them. Good for them. Jesus.
Yeah.
No, they look like a freight train. And so.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. All right, let's move into the next one. Michigan. Just ridiculous last night. It's pouring rain, which, of course, hurts the one advantage that Notre Dame really does have. Other than that, this game looked, on paper, to be pretty even. The biggest advantage was Notre Dame's passing attack, and Michigan didn't really have one. And Michigan wins this game 45-14. It wasn't really even that close. And with the pouring rainstorm, which was really entertaining to watch, Shea Patterson, 6 out of 12 for 100 yards and two touchdowns. Dylan McCaffrey, 2 out of 2 for 34 yards and a touchdown. Michigan ran the football 57 times for 303 yards in this game and three more touchdowns. Notre Dame ran the ball 31 times for 47 yards.
That's a bit of a difference. I don't know if you're good at math.
Yeah.
But that's like 300 yards separation.
Michigan outran them by
when you outrun somebody by almost 300 yards.
Yeah.
You're gonna beat them. There's no question about that.
Yeah, Ian Book 8 out of 25 for 73 yards with a touchdown. The new kid Jerkovic, 3 out of 4, 60 yards, one touchdown. That was in garbage time, whatever. But Notre Dame, this is the last time that they will play until 2033. And the petty tweet by Michigan, I need that just like tapped into my vein, man, because I love petty football, especially with rivalries like this. You know, this isn't like a massive, massive rivalry. It's not Michigan-Ohio State. It's not Alabama-Auburn. It's not LSU-Alabama, right? But it is. There's still some hatred there. And to see that kind of
stuff. It's about as big of a rivalry as you're going to get between two teams that aren't in the same conference competing for the same conference championship, though.
Yeah.
Because all of those other rivalries not only matter because those teams hate each other, but part of the hatred is those games matter because it determines a conference champion every year.
Right, right. So
this doesn't determine anything other than we just don't like each other.
Exactly. The tweet reads, "Dear at," and this is from the Michigan Athletics account, Twitter account, "Dear at ND Football, we need to take a break. We've been doing this for a while now, and we need our space. We're glad we could end on good terms. Thank you for not being defensive." Subtle jab, right? "Let's keep in touch, and maybe we'll try again in 14 years if you're still independent." And then they do like the little wave emoticon. That I can't get enough of that kind of stuff. Like, and Michigan being able to talk trash now after being utterly dominated by Wisconsin, being being beaten, but it dominated early by Penn State. Like, now they get to come home. They play well in the big house.
You gave a lot out about the rain. Listen, I don't know that this game was played in rain, in dry weather, cold weather, hot weather. I think Michigan is getting better. And we always talk about this all the time. College football does a really bad job of rewarding teams for improving throughout the season. It's the one thing that I hate most about college football. And I wish that there was a way to find a way to change that. But if we think a team has great pedigree and they start off slow and they turn into something far better at the end of the year, we have to find some way to improve them other than saying, "You get to go to the Peach Bowl. That's awesome." Because I think this Michigan team is head and shoulders better than the Michigan team that started the season with the first three games of the year. Yeah. And if you don't believe that, you're just a Michigan hater and you're out to hate on them for no reason.
This team does
because they're completely different.
Yeah. Now you're 100% right. I don't, you know,
if we have 4 minutes more or maybe 1 minute more in the Penn State game, they win that game. Everything is going their way. They found a way to stop Penn State for three quarters of football. Penn State scored the first quarter, 21 points. After that, they got one touchdown the rest of the game. This defense is really, really good, and they have found their identity, and they are shutting everybody down. And these are good offenses.
Well,
these
are not just on top slow, of that, big guys. The defense. The offense.
Oh,
the
and yeah, offense. They're finding an offensive identity.
Yes.
They are.
That's definite. Shea Patterson is playing way better. This running game has not done anything. And Haskins was the guy last night. Like, all season it's been Charbonnet, and Haskins came up with 20 carries for 149 yards last night. Now, one of those was a 49-yarder, but you still had 19 carries for 100 yards. Like,
yes,
that was pretty intense. Like, they have not had a good running attack all season.
Well, we know this is a new offensive coordinator. I'm the one Michigan defender that's not a Michigan fan. Okay, I get that. I'm the only person on the planet that's like, I mean, I don't hate them, I don't love them. Hey, you know, they're a really good football team. Listen, you totally revamp and change your offensive philosophy. Go ask Arkansas how the hell hard that is when you go from a super passing team to a super running team, now trying to get back to a super passing team. Go see how many seasons that takes. And it's taken them about 4 or 5 games, okay? Yeah. And they lost 2 of those 5 games.
And they had
to kind of gotten an identity and some type of passing or offensive, not passing, but an offensive identity. And they're looking much better. I know we can't just throw away those 2 losses. I'm not asking anybody to. I'm just saying let's not just look at them and say, oh, well, this is a garbage team.
Oh yeah. And they're definitely not that. They're definitely
both of those losses, by the way, on the road at 2 extremely difficult places to play.
Yeah, Camp Randall and Happy Valley.
They get the white out of Happy Valley and they go to Camp Randall. That's insane, dude.
Yeah, it's tough stuff, but they do still have. Now Michigan State doesn't look great. We'll get to that at some point.
Oh, they got 1 game left on their schedule that they got to win, and they're probably not going to. Okay, Ohio State coming to the Big House. I'll get that one right. This stuff. it's going to be tough. Tough is probably an understatement, but
yeah,
just keep getting better. If they get better every week between now and then, Ohio State can't get better. There's nothing they can do to improve. They look like they're playing flawless football.
I do wonder if Ohio State has maybe hit their peak a little bit. But
hang on. If they hit their peak and they can maintain that peak because they have just superior athletes than anybody they play, then that's fine. But here's the thing. If you want to beat Ohio State, you have to be able to play great defense, elite-level defense, and you have to run the football. If Michigan can build an identity to do that, they have a puncher's chance. I'm not saying they can win the game. I'm not saying they're going to win the game. I'm just telling you, they're going to have a shot at least. It should be a ball game.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. Let's talk about Penn State and Michigan State right quick while we're on this topic, while we're on the Big Ten. Look, if you look at the box score on this game, because I had this one on along with LSU-Auburn.
Oh, why watch 1 second of this football
game? Well, that's the deal, right? Penn State wins, and it seemingly convincingly, right? 28-7. But you look at the stats. Total yards, Penn State had 302, Michigan State 265. Passing yards, 189-182 in favor of Penn State. Rushing yards, 113-83 in favor of Penn State. There was the biggest difference here was Michigan State turnovers. Michigan State had 4 of them. Penn State had 1. And I want to think that Penn State is an elite team. And that defense might be.
Yeah.
But the offense, they've got like explosive tendencies. And then they are not efficient, and I cannot figure them out.
Look, I don't. There's a part of me that doesn't like teams that live and die by just explosive plays. Yeah, the first time Penn State, has like an 80-yard drive, 75-yard drive with 9-12 plays, to score a touchdown. Will be the next time they do that. Will be the first time they do that. They definitely live and die off of big plays, big plays, big plays. But the reason they can take the chances with the big plays is because their defense, they trust. Oh, if we go 3 and out and give them the ball, I'm not afraid of that. It doesn't scare me at all.
Now that makes sense.
And I think there's some level of the way they call the game and the way they call the plays they call it are because they trust their defense so much.
Yeah, they don't necessarily need their offense to be super efficient.
And I don't think they're looking for efficiency. I think they're looking score. I think they're looking to go for points. Big plays. Go for the jugular when you can.
Yeah, if we put up, 21 points or 20, if we put up 28 points, we're not losing the game.
Yeah, they should not lose those games. That's right.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that Penn State is a really good team. I cannot wait for late November with them going over to the Horseshoe. That's going to be just a fantastic ball game. All right, let's move to the SEC. Let's talk about LSU and Auburn. Now, you watched all of this.
Yes.
Tell me your thoughts before I start getting into stats.
I believe Auburn is absolutely still a top 10 team. I believe that I picked them to go 10-2 the beginning of the season. If you ask me to completely get out of that pick or double down on it right now, and those are my only 2 options, I would absolutely double down on it. They get Alabama and Georgia at home. I think they're a better football team than Georgia. Flat out, plain and simple. I think they're a better football team than Georgia. And Alabama, they're not a better football team, but Jordan Hare is going to be insane for that football game.
Oh yeah.
And I would take my chances with doubling down before I got out of that. Their offense, excuse me, a lot like Michigan's, getting so much better as the year goes on. That is not LSU's defense is bad. That is, they're finding an offensive identity, and Gus Malzahn is back in his home of calling plays. That defensive front is nasty. Auburn's upset right now because a lot of holding calls didn't get called. Listen, I've been on this every year. I crap on Alabama when it happens to them. It's happening to LSU now too. They're exactly right. They're exactly right. Yeah. I watched this game. I was like, oh, crap, holding. Oh, crap, holding. And they didn't call it.
Yeah.
Some of them were big holding calls that were big plays. I don't know that it changes the outcome of games, but as the underdog in a hard-fought game against a team that's a juggernaut right now, it's very frustrating, and you just don't want to lose that way. But Auburn, let's speak to Auburn first. I think they're still a really good team. I think Bo Nix is finding himself. That receiving core is getting better. They got a lot of speed, but they're just raw talent. And they, beginning of the season, it looked like they kind of didn't understand the offense. They didn't understand route trees. These guys are all kind of learning on the fly, I think. And they're getting better. So I really like them. And then they can still run the football when they want to.
Yeah.
LSU, man. This is the first time they really got hit in the mouth. I thought it was going to happen in Florida. Florida's defense didn't stand up. Florida's
defense was also missing their two best pass rushers and probably their three best defensive players, right?
I don't know that there's a single defense in the SEC that's 100% healthy, though. I mean, LSU's been missing guys all year. Bama's missing guys all the time.
But what I'm saying is that when you
Auburn's
have them healthy.
Auburn's missing one of their big front four, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if they have that guy, is it different? Because that front line, that's the first line all year that pushed LSU's offensive line around. It's probably going to be the last line to do it because there's no other defensive front as good as them. But those guys are big, and they're nasty. LSU's offense held up, stayed strong. You know, there was a part of me that kept thinking when we got in the goal line situation, you know, go for the end zone, don't take the field goals. Thank God Ed Orgeron is not me. If they don't get those and they don't get to the field goals as points on the board when they did, might lose that game. I always think that I believe in this offense for the first time in my life. And so I just think one more play, we can get in the end zone. One more play, we can make it happen. But the defense played great, though. The defense did exactly what they do. Early on in the game, they gave up drives. They're figuring this thing out. But you give Aranda a half to watch what you're doing, and he goes in the locker room. Yeah. That second half, you're not doing what you did the first half. If you don't come out with a different offense, I'm going to tell you this, if Alabama doesn't come out in the second half with a different offensive mindset and a completely different script for the second half of football, they're not scoring in the second half the way they score in the first. Now, they're going to score a lot in the first. That's going to happen. They're not going to do it in the second half if they don't change almost everything. Because he is so good at watching what you're doing.
Yeah, his adjustments are ridiculous.
I can figure that out.
Yeah, his adjustments are absolutely ridiculous.
Now, we got to get healthy now because we've had DBs and defensive linemen hurt all year long.
Yeah.
And last night, two best defensive players on the defensive back both went down.
Yeah, at the Stingley, end of that game.
Stingley killed it, and then Declan.
I think he got a stinger. Like, he was fine afterward. And Delpit, you know, walked a little gingerly on that ankle, but Delpit was fine afterwards.
My fear with Stingley was, is this a collarbone or a shoulder because of the way he landed.
The guy
landed on him.
No, it appears that he's fine. There's been no extra news, but other people saw them walking around Baton Rouge. Saw him walking around after the game. They're fine. So unless something happens in practice, nothing happened in that game to keep them out of the Alabama game. And you got 2 weeks to heal up, so should be fine after that. As far as stats go, LSU, even as well as we feel like Auburn's defense played, still had 508 yards of total offense.
I was just about to say they didn't get the points on the board that they usually get because they settle for field goals and not touchdowns.
When also had two turnovers. I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah. No, that's... Yeah. That's big. That one turnover in the red zone. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That frustrated me so bad. But...
and then the missed extra point, just like... Because I thought, okay, I've got LSU minus 10.5, and you did too, and I'm thinking that missed extra point is going to cost me the cover, period. Like, this looks like it would be an 11-point game, and honestly, it was a 10-point game until late in the fourth quarter, and Auburn made that drive and scored with it. I don't even know how much time was left, but here, I can actually tell you. They scored with 2 minutes and 32 seconds left. So, you know, at one point, the missed extra point cost the cover, but then the late drive did as well. So, you know, you look at the numbers... You look at the play-by-play, you look at the box score and everything. Bo Nix, 15 out of 35 passing, 157 yards, one touchdown, one pick. DJ Williams for Auburn, 13 carries for 130 yards.
Just
Now he had a long of 70. So true. 12 carries for, you know, 60 yards, still pretty good. So it was good to see him. But they were throwing in everybody. Trying to get rushing yards, and they were able to produce, but not to the level that LSU was. I mean, Joe Burrow had 13 carries himself for 31 yards and a touchdown. And I don't know how to say the guy's name. Edwards, how do you say it? Hilaire? Edwards Hilaire?
Oh, the LSU running back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Clyde Edwards Hilaire. I think that's how you say it. Cause I was watching with the sound turned off. 26 carries, 136 yards, one touchdown. And he was able to run, you know, between the tackles some. So LSU's offensive line was able to move a little bit, and you can do that when the threat of the pass is so great, right? Like, it helps out a ton. When you can pass to open up the run or run to open up the pass, it helps out everything. And the other team has to respect that. And Auburn had to respect it. It opened up everything for him. Burrow, as bad as... You know, the game itself looked still 32 out of 42 for 321 yards, one touchdown, and then the one pick in the red zone. Like, yep. He was really, really good.
No, at halftime, I felt like, man, he's not able to get anything. And then I looked at the stats. I was like, oh, he still got 200 yards and a touchdown. Oh, yeah. That's a pretty good half.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty good game. Aren't going to have that for the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, the touchdown average went way down because they were getting 3 to 4 a game from him, and he got one passing. But at the end of the day, when you're in a game like that, you don't care about stats. Nobody's trying to win a Heisman. You're trying to win the football game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're in the fight of your life to try to stay undefeated, and that's all you care about.
Now, you're right about that. Let's move on from there. Let's go ahead and jump into the next topic. Every Big 12 underdog won yesterday. And I always love these, you know, when you have a day like this, because it just throws everything into chaos. Let's jump into first TCU 37, Texas 27. You look at the box score, and Texas had slightly better numbers. The one glaring problem, Texas had 4 turnovers. And all 4 were interceptions. That ain't good.
Nope.
So they did have 447 yards of total offense. TCU had 435 yards of total offense, which should never happen. Like
that tells you how bad Texas' defense really is.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I was making fun of Oklahoma's defense in our text chat. Texas defense might be the worst in the country that's like a Power 5 football team that's got NFL talent.
Yeah.
Somebody from this defense is going to go play on Sundays, and I don't know that they should.
Well, I'm wondering. I'll tell you this. I know Todd Orlando is going to be fired at the end of the season. Like, I don't think that.
You think?
100%. I don't even think it. Like, I know this. I know that Tom Herman does not want to fire him because he's been with him for a while. He's been with him ever since Houston. And the guy has always been able to come up with big stops and whatnot when he needs to, but he can't figure this season out. And, I mean, this is not a good thing. Not a good thing. They've already got 3 losses. So that's not good. I wouldn't expect them to remain in the top 25 this week. But they stayed in after the last loss, so we'll see what happens here. But, man, that so, was...
Just on a personal note, I got a sizable ticket for them minus... sorry, not them minus anything. Them to go under 8.5 wins. Right now, if they win out, they get 9.
You need one more loss.
They got Kansas State at home, at Iowa State, at Baylor, and then Texas Tech at home. I don't think Texas Tech is beating them. But
the other three might.
I got to get one W out of one of those three dogs, those three teams.
I think you'll be able to handle that. I think you'll be able to handle that.
Hey, one more W.
One more W. Let's talk about the next one up in this slate. A team that you just mentioned, Iowa State, loses at home 34-27 to Oklahoma State. I kind of wrote off Oklahoma State a little bit.
That's so foolish.
And I shouldn't have, right? But they, like, if you watched Oklahoma State play multiple times at home last week, I mean, they just got trounced by Baylor. And I understand Baylor's a good football team. I got that. But the way that I don't want to say that they quit, but man, at the end of that ball game, like Baylor was able to hit big play after big play. It was just.
Defense for Baylor just takes your will to fight away. They wear you down. They smother you. They suffocate you. And they make it to where you just don't want to play football anymore by the fourth quarter, which is how they can take over the game even if they're not winning the game.
Yeah.
Okay? Iowa State is a Big 12 team. Baylor plays – when Oklahoma State plays another Big 12 team, they got a puncher's chance every time.
Yeah.
Every time. Because they can score with anybody. And if you don't hit Oklahoma State in the mouth, they're never out of that game, ever.
Yeah, you got a valid
point. Chuba Hubbard is a damn man.
Yeah, he 22 carries yesterday, 116 yards, one touchdown on the season. He has actually got, let's see, on the season, 216 carries, 1,381 yards, 16 touchdowns. That is insane.
He is the best running back in football.
In 8 games, he's already got nearly 1,400 rushing yards. He could be looking at 2,000. He could be.
Yeah.
But we'll see. They still got some tough games to go. But Spencer Sanders, game,
you know, I think he's going to get it.
Oh yeah,
Spencer a postseason to it.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm just talking about 2,000 in the regular season. Spencer Sanders looked pretty good. 16 out of 24, 249 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. Brock Purdy had to throw the ball a lot in this game, and mixed results. 39 out of 62, 382 yards, 1 touchdown, and 3 interceptions. If you were keeping track at home, that is 1 turnover for Oklahoma State and 3 for Iowa State, and that will bite you every single time. Let's move on to the next Big 12 upset, and I know that you love this one. I know you're going to be smiling about this one. The Jayhawks are looking legit. Kansas gets their third win of the season, a 37-24 win over Texas Tech. They score 17 points in the fourth quarter. Look, ever since they switched out offensive coordinators,
I know.
Look legit. Let me tell you a stat right quick. Kansas under Les Miles had 415 yards passing. Would you have loved to see this at LSU?
I know. Just fire your best friend, and we never have this. Just never have this.
Like, we never have a problem if you just get rid of your best buddy. Like, that's all we have to do.
This is why you don't hire your friends. Tom Herman hired his best friend, his BFF. He's not going to want to let him go. They're getting smoked.
So the way that this actually played out, how about this? You remember it, right? Like,
oh God,
you
I remember every bit of it. This is the most Les Miles way to win a football game. It's why I love him so much. It's why I love him. Because it's flawed. It's flawed. I don't like big juggernauts all the time because I like things with flaws. Okay, I just identify with them.
Yeah.
I am a flawed person. Les is a flawed person. And this is just incredible. They're lining up for the field goal. It's like, I don't know, 20-something seconds left on the clock. Not a lot of time. Lining up, they make the field goal, they win the football game. Field goal gets blocked. Texas Tech catches the ball, recovers it, And now they're trying to return it, which why they're trying to return it, they already have the lead. They have the game won.
But no. The game is tied. It's 34-34.
Oh, that's right. Okay. For some reason, I thought they were up by one. They won by
two. But even still, the odds of being able to return it when the ball goes over the line of scrimmage and you still have to run through everybody, those odds are not great, right?
That's right.
They're
trying to return the block punt, sorry. And the guy fumbles the ball, and Kansas recovers it, and my heart just stops. I'm like, stop the clock, stop the clock, stop the clock, because the clock was ticking down, and it stopped at two. 2 seconds left. I was like, this kid that just got this punt block, this kick block, is about to get another shot at redemption. This is an incredible story. This is what you want. I mean, you can't write this. If you were to bring a script to Hollywood, be like, hey, I got this feel-good movie, and this is how I want the game to end, they'd be like, get out of here. That's ridiculous. Like, that's just too much, and it's not realistic, and we can't sell this bullcrap. But it really happened. And then the kid drills the kick, makes the win. After last week coming so close to beating Oklahoma, I thought they were going to let down this week because you put so much into that. And I know moral victories don't matter at all. I love this man. I will follow him to the ends of the earth. He is always going to be my head coach. I just never going to change.
I absolutely love listening to you talk about Les Miles.
Oh, my gosh. I wish there was a way. Now, I might get like a restraining order, but if there was some way, Smacker Miles, one of his kids, somebody, just let him know how much I love that man.
We could probably get Smacker on the show.
I don't know. She's pretty big. She used to work for Longhorn Network. Now I think she works for the Cowboys.
We have big people on here all the time. What are you talking about?
I don't care about being on the show. I just want to shake your daddy's hand and just tell him thank you. Thank you for always giving me your very best. That's all.
I love it. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about Pac-12 After Dark. Oregon 36, Washington State 34. I don't even know the best way to describe this football game. I planned on going to bed early, and I got sucked in. And I stayed up until 1:30-something last night, Central Time.
This was a really good game to stay up for, though.
It really was. It really was.
It's hard for me to go to bed on Leach.
I agree. It was you look at the team stats. Now, I saw this coming a mile away. It was one of my bets last week. It was one of the few that actually won.
Oh, no.
Man, it got murdered gambling yesterday. Just, good Lord, it's been like this all season.
You hadn't blanked it in a long time.
No, you blanked it 2 weeks ago, man. I guess if you're talking personal too. Yeah. On the show, you blanked it 2 weeks ago. You went 0-4 2 weeks ago and then bounced back a little. Yeah, and then went 0-6 yesterday. Yeah, you're getting to my level. Welcome to the bottom.
I was living at about 500.
And now you're not. I'm telling you, man, this season is strange. Like, there's some weird stuff going on with these numbers. But back to Oregon, Washington State. Look, you look at the third down conversions. Oregon 11 out of 17 for the game. Washington State was only 1 of 9 on third down in this game, and they put up 35 points, and almost won the damn thing.
Yeah,
like it's just insane. The total yardage, Oregon had 528, Washington State 446. 406 of that was passing. Totally expected, right? Rushing yards, 40 for Washington State, 306 for Oregon. Like, just ridiculous. And Mario Cristobal, I'm telling you, he did it last year multiple times. This end-game crap where he's on, like, the opponent's 35-yard line, 34-yard line, whatever, and he punts the ball on 4th and 6 with a, you know, 3-point lead or whatever it was, or whatever the thing was. No, 6-point lead. Either way, I understand trusting your defense. But at some point, you have to be aggressive. You have a top 5, top 10, whatever, NFL draft pick quarterback sitting back there. You've got playmakers all over the field. You have put up, you know, 450 yards of offense at this point. And for whatever reason, you don't go for the jugular and make sure you can put this game away when your defense has not been able to stop Washington State. He does this multiple times a year. His in-game clock management, his decision-making, and yet they continue to win in spite of it. It kind of, like, I love Cristobal. I love his toughness. I love what he instills in a football team. But, man, like, doing this over and over again, it's going to get him caught. This was absolutely an emotional letdown spot after last week's big win, you know, come-from-behind win in Seattle. And then they've got USC coming up this coming week. So this was a letdown spot. You're coming home. You're feeling a little comfortable. You're favored by two touchdowns. That's to be expected. But, man, you got to be better making decisions like that. And I'm not saying that I would be much better. I'm not a college football coach. But you're getting paid millions and millions of dollars to do this.
Right.
You better find somebody on that sideline that can help you do this. Or it's going to get you caught.
Tens of thousands, okay?
Exactly.
There's a little bit of difference. No, I completely agree with you. And if Washington State had any semblance of a defense, they lose that game, and I think they lose it bad.
Yeah, you might be right. Yeah.
You have to take shots. You have to. Look at the way college football is going.
I mean, it's
I mean, there's times where big teams, I mean, LSU did it a couple of times, where they will forego not just punting, they'll forego taking points, taking a gimme field goal. With the opportunity to get seven or six because they understand the difference of those 3 points. They matter. They just do.
Yeah. You're right. You're 100% right. Let's move on. Let's stay in the Pac-12. Let's keep on this. Utah 35, Cal 0. Now, normally this would not be something that we would talk about, but let me pull up these stats here because this was ridiculous. Cal only had 83 yards of total offense in this entire football game. And Utah had 473. Cal only had, let's see, they had 22 passes. They had 23 rushes. The 23 rushes went for 21 rushing yards. The 22 passes, only 9 of them were completed. It was 2.7 yards per pass. They only had 20 plays that they gained positive yardage on. Utah's defense, since the USC game, has been top 5 level. And they are getting zero love nationally because they're not doing it flashy, right? But this, to me, is the best team in the Pac-12. They are light years ahead. And as long as Hundley and Moss and their whole allotment of players are healthy, this is the team to beat in the Pac-12. Like, I don't know that anybody would convince me otherwise. Oregon is good. I will take Kyle Whittingham over Mario Cristobal in in-game situations any day of the week. Am I crazy for thinking that?
No, but I also think that Oregon having to play much bigger teams than Utah in conference, especially. I mean, having to beat Washington State is a far, far cry from having to beat, you know, the South.
Utah just beat Washington State, let's see, 4 weeks ago, 38-13.
Correct. So that's fine. Like,
it's different. Like, and look, Utah gets to play at Washington next week. Next week.
Oh wow! Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so we'll get to see what's going on there.
Like almost everybody in conference.
Let's see. Utah has played.
Do they play a 9th conference game?
Yeah, they've got a 9th conference game.
Yeah, is the SEC the only conference that doesn't play 9 conference games?
The SEC and the ACC.
Okay. Holy crap! For some reason I thought the Big Ten and the Pac Ten, the Big Ten and the Big 12 were the only two that did.
No. Pac-12 does 9.
Pac-12 does 2.
Yep, Pac-12 does 9.
I think we need to add a 9th conference game.
Oh, yeah, I think everybody should play 9 conference games.
It's always bothered me that the SEC doesn't.
Hey, I agree. I'll tell you, you know, the Kentuckys and Tennessees and Vanderbilts and whatever the world would like to fill up their non-conference slate with more, you know, easy wins and whatnot. But, you know.
Well, I get it, but, I mean, at the same time, it's more shots for the big boys to get knocked out, too.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Because Kentucky is a hell of a lot better than Rice.
It will happen eventually. It'll happen eventually. But anyway, going back to Utah.
Sorry, off the schedule. I didn't think they would play both of them because I was like, they've already played Cal and Washington State from the north, so they're not going to play Washington. Yeah, I guess they did.
Yeah, they're playing Washington at Seattle this week. So, and the opening line on that, like the early look-ahead line, was Washington minus -5 in this spot? And man, that's just begging you to take Utah. Like, it terrifies me. So we'll see. But like I've told you before, Utah away from Salt Lake City,
not the same team.
Not the same. Unless they are playing, unless they're playing at Oregon State, who they beat 52-7, right?
I mean, there's a difference in class there, though.
Oh, yeah. There's absolutely a difference in class. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. I'm curious about it, but Utah, just dominating on defense. And I think that they are the class of the Pac-12, and I'll wait around and see if I am proven wrong on that. Let's go ahead and jump into the ACC Coastal Division. And the reason that I bring this up is because one of these teams is going to have to play Clemson at the end of the year. And Clemson's schedule... Yeah, Clemson's schedule is already blah, which is why nobody's talking. Like, they are dominating teams at this point, right? Ever since the North Carolina game, they have flipped the switch, and they have looked... I mean, they beat Boston College 59-7 yesterday, and it was actually worse than that. Like, the score doesn't indicate exactly how much they dominated that game. But if you look at the ACC Coastal, you've got Virginia at 3-2 now. You've got North Carolina at 3-2. You've got Virginia Tech at 2-2. You've got Pitt at 2-2. Duke at 2-3. Miami 2-3. And Georgia Tech at 1-3. Not a single team is out of it. And this next week we will be in November. So, like, I'm curious what the tiebreakers are going to be. What all of this is going to end up with. Let's roll through some of these ACC games that were a little surprising or at least entertaining. Louisville 28, Virginia 21. This should not have surprised me because Virginia has not been very good away from home this year. But the fact that Scott Satterfield, like, we were just wrong on Louisville. Yeah. And some of these teams we were right on. We did previews for all 130 FBS teams. We were dead on with some of them.
Yes.
Some of them we were dead wrong.
It was the teams that were just god-awful that made a coaching change, and I worked under the assumption that they were bad for so long, they don't have talent. And these great coaches, I believe in the coaches that took over. But at some point in time, you've got to recruit kids, so you got to give them at least a year or two to get a recruiting class in. And we were wrong about evaluating the talent that was there.
Yeah. Virginia was a top 15 rushing defense. And then they went to Louisville, and Louisville put 227 yards rushing on 45 carries on them. Like, that is just...
Yeah, we'll average 10 yards a touch.
Yeah, might as well, right? I mean, it's crazy. If you just
sounds like a good weekend.
Malik Cunningham was 6 out of 10 for 126 yards and one touchdown. Cunningham had been pretty good at quarterback for Louisville here.
He's been really good. Yeah,
he also had 11 carries and 97 yards. That helps out a lot. Hawkins for them had 28 carries, 136 yards, two touchdowns, and Perkins. You know, Bryce Perkins again for Virginia, another interception in this game. I get so frustrated at the inefficiencies, right? The turnovers, the mistakes. I mean, Virginia had more penalty yards. They had two turnovers to zero. Like, they find ways to beat themselves, and that's what drives me nuts. And I know it's got to drive Bronco Mendenhall nuts as well. But Virginia, I mean, it's still sitting at 5-3, but this is a better team than that. And I just, it's so frustrating to look at. So, along with that, Miami went to Pittsburgh and won 16-12. Now, I bring this up because if you look at Pitt's schedule, they have played all of their games but one have been, but two have been one-possession games. They lost to Virginia 30-14. They beat Ohio 20-10. And then ever since then, every single game has been a one-possession game where they win by a touchdown, lose by a field goal, whatever. It is mind-blowing to me that Miami is so just all over the map, right? Like, they don't look good any week, and yet they find ways to win football games. They're 4-4. Like, as much crap as everybody has talked about them, they're still 4-4. Like, they're not awful.
Yeah, but we expected – the reason they talk crap is because we expect them to be the elite of the ACC this year.
Yeah, we thought that they could go 10-2 after they lost to Florida.
That's right.
And now they're definitely not doing that, but obviously there's not another team in the ACC that's going to win 10 ball games.
Well, no.
So, yeah, it's a little strange. Pitt had 3 turnovers. Miami only one turnover. Like, that blew my mind. Nicosi Perry, 10 out of 24, 104 yards. They put Williams back in. He was 4 out of 8 for 50 yards. They weren't able to run the ball well. You know, neither team, like, this was just a gross football game. This is just disgusting. So, and then finally, Duke and North Carolina. Look, what is it, Tobacco Road? Is that it? Yeah, this was ridiculous. Deion Jackson tried a trick pass play at the goal line with 14 seconds left in this game. And if you did not watch it, it's on my Twitter. Like, go follow at GaryWCE. It's on there. They handed the ball off, ran the running back up to the line of scrimmage, and tried to get him to do a jump pass over the line of scrimmage, which was intercepted by a former North Carolina quarterback, Chaz Surratt, who read the play perfectly. He threw the ball into 3 North Carolina defenders. And I looked at David Cutcliffe on the sideline, and he just... I don't think that was how they drew that up, like, according to his reaction, because it was ugly and mind-blowing, and I have never seen a team lose a ball game that way. Now, if they would have had a better shot if they just run it in the middle of the line.
That's right.
It was unfreaking believable. So, yeah, the ACC is a mess. Nobody's going to help Clemson out with this. If Clemson loses a game... That's right. Now, I don't see it happening. But if they do, they don't have room for error. They don't have an Oklahoma situation here where they could, you know, you get big wins coming back or something like that. No, it's you don't have anybody showing up in the championship game that's going to turn heads. Like, period. It's mind-blowing to me. To be fair, let's give a little bit of love to Willie Taggart and his bunch. 35-17 win over Syracuse. We were dead wrong on the Orange Men. Or the Orange, I guess now is what they're called. That was ugly. Like, Syracuse can't score. They can't stop nobody.
Yeah, I mean, they're banged up. I mean, that offense is in shambles.
Yeah, it's definitely that. And then, you ready to close out the show?
Yeah.
Let's talk about ABC Primetime in Memphis. And it took some freaking miracle work to get them here. Like, this was divine intervention at its finest.
I have no idea how Memphis pulled that game off.
Before we do that, let's move to Thursday. SMU 34, Houston 31. Houston outgained SMU 6.8 yards per play to 5.35. Like, that is a massive difference. And Houston was able to move the ball at will on them. The difference, though, Houston had 3 turnovers. SMU only had 1. That'll help win you some ball games, right? You win the turnover battle, you're probably going to win the ball game. Memphis, let's move into this one from last night. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, Memphis 42, Tulsa 41. Tulsa missed a 29-yard field goal at the buzzer, and he shanked it, like, wide left. He was on the far right hash mark and shanked it left. And I had already sat with my wife because she was... obviously excited. Like, when Memphis scores the touchdown to go up by 1 point with 4 minutes left in the game, I said they left way too much time.
Which is insane anyway, because they were down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they had gone down. Like, they were up, what, 35-24 in the fourth quarter. And, or it may have been, like, late third, whatever. But Tulsa comes back. Memphis turning the football over, not being efficient with the ball, not being able to. Their success rate was pretty terrible in some spots. They got playmakers, but man, this defense looked like they just wanted to.
Tulsa scored 3 touchdowns in a row, or 2 touchdowns and a field goal in a row.
Yeah. And the field goal they should have scored a touchdown.
That's like, right.
Because they got it all the way down to, you know, the what, 11-yard line? Or inside the 10, whatever. That was just, I don't have words for it. But I'd already told my wife, like, if they lose this game, I'm not going next week. Like, I'm this is ridiculous. I'm not going out to sit in 35-degree weather to watch this team get whipped up on by SMU. And yet, I had to remind myself, like, SMU almost had this same thing happen to them against Tulsa. They almost had the same thing happen to them against Houston. This happens to football teams.
Yes.
Like, Clemson almost got beat by North Carolina. These things happen, and you can't really explain them.
Nope.
I will say this. I don't believe that Memphis defense is as good as we thought they were at the beginning of the year. Like, is that fair to say?
No, it's probably fair to say, but also you're on the road, and, you know, I don't know. Tulsa's not a terrible team.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Tulsa's not terrible. They're probably
now we're waiting. We're waiting on one more big shoe to drop, right?
They are. Yeah, we're waiting on College Game Day, which this entire time we're recording, by the way, it is now 10:52 a.m. on Sunday morning on, what is it, October the 27th, and I have been refreshing the College Game Day Twitter account.
I keep looking down and just checking.
I'm checking Felica's. Like, I texted Felica.
Fowler, Irby, anybody.
Like, I texted Felica last night. I said, what's the word? I got no response. They are keeping this tight-lipped. I will say this. Kirk Herbstreit, it terrifies me because he retweeted the Oregon it's up, it's good thing from last night where they kicked the game-winning field goal, which terrifies me thinking that they're going to go to the Coliseum.
You go to the Coliseum all the time. USC sucks. They should have lost so bad.
Yeah.
USC was beat by Colorado. Don't go there.
No, but to be fair, 10 minutes ago, he just did share out teams having good years that are off the national radar. First one he put was at Memphis football 7-1. So, to be fair, like that does maybe signal good things, but there's been no news, and typically they've got this stuff figured out, right? And so we're still waiting to see, all right, are they going to go to the cocktail party? Are they going to go to Memphis? Are they going to go to Oregon, USC? It would make more sense from a business perspective to go to Memphis because that is the game that their company is actually carrying.
Yeah, they don't have to pay for a private flight. Let's save some cheese there. Yeah. ESPN's on a budget crunch.
Yeah, let's just make this easy.
That's right.
And everybody come on down to Memphis and we'll all go have some ribs.
I'll pick up dinner for Felica one night. He don't have to expense that. It'll be good.
Forget that. Hey, just bring the whole crew. We'll figure it out. We'll find a way. We got credit cards.
Come on now. I offer to pick up the check. Gary's inviting everybody. Come on now. Damn.
That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes.
I'm going to Chicago again.
Yes, sir. But yeah, so we're still waiting on that. And obviously we will talk about it on Tuesday because at that point we will know what is happening. Last week they did not release it until Sunday afternoon.
So it's getting later in the week.
Yeah.
I'll be shocked if they go to the cocktail party. I just think it's hard to cover a team three times in a year.
Four times.
They've already covered Florida twice. Oh, no, they've already – you keep it
three running. Times. They've already covered three.
That'll be the fourth time having to cover Florida. I think that would be hard – not just hard to sell, but hard to come up with content for. It's not a we dislike this program or not. It's a how many specials can you run on a team over and over again? So, you know.
It's difficult to do that. I'm sure that they can find ways to make it work. There's, you know, multiple scholarship athletes.
But there's just so many other teams you'd like to showcase at some point in time.
Yeah.
And you're going to get so few opportunities to go to small teams. I'm going to tell you this. I love when game day's at one of my games. Don't care for them on the road, at home, neutral site, doesn't matter. PJ Fleck pounding the chest saying, game day, come to Minnesota. I actually wouldn't be upset if they went to Minnesota. I don't know if they've ever been. And that Minnesota-Penn State game is going to be a good showcase game.
I think it will.
I think if any team has deserved the right to say, let us have one big national stage and talk about it, because there's a really good chance that, it all goes to an end Saturday, then I wouldn't be devastated if they picked Minnesota at all.
Well, that would be – well, let's see. Does Minnesota's got an off week, don't they?
Minnesota and Penn State both have byes.
Yeah, they both have byes this week. So
they're both going to be –
yeah, it would be Alabama, LSU, or Minnesota, Penn State.
That's it. And those are the only two choices next week. And I kind of would like to see Minnesota get their, you know, their time in the sun.
Yeah,
PJ Fleck has turned that program around. I don't know how real they are. I know I'm doing a Minnesota preview right now, but like, let them get their 10 minutes of fame real quick, because life's about to hit them hard. And yeah, if they win, then unbelievable.
Well, I'll tell you this: regardless of anything else, the fact that they have won 8 ball games already—that's
like, insane.
That's a good coaching job. That is getting the most out of your players, and they are at a point now where they absolutely believe that they can win every game on their schedule.
Like, you're exactly right.
And that's confidence is a big part of every football team.
I believe that. I believe in PJ Fleck. And I like the idea of College Game Day showcasing other teams all the time. You don't have to come to Baton Rouge every year. Like, yeah. I love them too. God, oh man, the atmosphere is just turned up that much higher when they do. But it's still one of those things where I get it. This is a national game with 130 teams in the power conferences, and not just power conferences, but in the FBS.
Yeah.
To say we have to showcase the top 10 every year, and there's only, I don't know, 13 weeks of the season that you really do this with bye weeks, that means you only get to go to 3 random places sometimes. Let's spread it out a little bit.
Spread it out. Go to Memphis this week after going to South Dakota State last week.
Yeah.
And then go to Minnesota next week.
It'll be all good.
I'm totally fine with that. Like, you'll still be able to cover Alabama, LSU from Minnesota.
Well, no doubt. And anybody who thinks where they go affects ratings, they don't understand how TV works.
Nope. That's not how
it works. Nobody's going to wake up and be like, oh, they're not at LSU, Alabama. I guess I'm not going to turn on the number one college football pregame show in the world.
No, you're right. You're right.
That person is a moron if they say that. And they're not missing out on anything, because no advertiser's selling that guy anything.
No, you're right. You're right. All right. Is there anything else you think we need to hit?
No, I mean, it's up to you. We're going to keep rolling.
Let's see.
Get out of here.
We'll do a different video only for our top 10 and everything else. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, go check out the YouTube channel. We'll have our top 10 and we'll have our college football playoff picks. Go and check that out over on the YouTube page, youtube.com/winningcureseverything. You can find all that over at winningcureseverything.com. The show always brought to you by Tunica, Mississippi, the South's premier sports gambling destination. You can find more information on them over at tunicatravel.com. Chris, we will talk about this stuff later. Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.